you to please rise as we anticipate the word of the gospel. Our gospel today comes from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter. When Zechariah's time of service was ended, he returned to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me in this time, and when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and he said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But Mary was very much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting that might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." The gospel of our Lord. I invite you may be seated. I invite our children to go out to the creation station if they choose. What do you fear? Last week, we heard the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and we acknowledged the first 5 words of the story, the setting the stage, often overlooked words, the words of "in the days of Herod." And when we pulled back and we stopped a minute to think about what that meant, in the days of Herod, it was a time of oppression, intimidation, and the abuse of power. And we have Zechariah and Elizabeth we were introduced to. And they experienced fear and longing, both a personal and a global, deep fear and longing. We heard about how their story demonstrated a couple different types of fear and the impact or responses to fear. So fear that's unexpected. You walk into the temple and voila, there's an angel, and the angel is speaking to you. Well, that would be an unexpected fear. And I anticipate that if we had some angel appear to us today, we'd have a little fear and trepidation as well. There's also the fear that's kind of a natural reaction to divine disruption. And then there's this fear. And I think we might be able to resonate with this one as well. The fear of the shrinking heart and spirit. You know, the one that diminishes your courage. The one that wears on your soul, on your spirit,
and how one interacts and engages with the world. We hear that in the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And we hear that in our gospel today when Elizabeth says, "This is what the Lord has done for me in this time and place, when he looked favorably upon me and took away the disgrace I've endured by my people." This angel comes in and changes their life with divine disruption. Today's gospel, today's What Do You Fear story, is the story of Mary. And I'm going to invite you to listen to the story again. And I want you to invite you to listen to the story from Mary's perspective. If you were Mary, what are you feeling? If you were Mary, what are you fearing? And the angel Gabriel came to her and he said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But Mary was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will have no end." Mary said to him, to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child to be born will be holy. And he will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." If you were Mary, what would you be fearing? What would you be feeling? And I have a whole blank part in my sermon, so I guess I'm waiting for you to answer some of those questions. If you were Mary, what are you feeling?
What do other people think of me?
What do other people think of me? Absolutely. What else? Will Joseph leave me? What will Joseph say? What will Joseph do?
Why was I
chosen? Why? Why me, God? Why was I chosen? Other things that she may be feeling or fearing. Am I ready to be a mom? Let alone a mom to God's son? Boy, that makes being president of the congregation look really mild. Just remember that if you're asked. What other things might she be fearing? That her community would put her to death. What else? Yeah. She knows the story. She knows what's coming. Wow. What are my parents going to say? Explain that one to mom and dad. That doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun. Our gospel tells us that Mary was deeply troubled, and we have good examples of what's going on. And she's deeply troubled not just in her mind, but in her body and her soul. She's shaken. She's thrown off balance. This is not the life this 14-year-old girl had envisioned that she was going to be living. She's thrown off balance, and she's most definitely afraid for her life. All of this is understandable. She was so young. She was unmarried in a very imperial, oppression-filled, and patriarchal world. This wasn't just a shock for Zechariah, like it was for Zechariah. This is a huge risk for her body, soul, and spirit. Think about it. Have you ever been in a place of such disruption? Have you ever been a place of fear and no idea how you're moving forward? Most of us have. Most of us have been in a place where we lose our identity or our place in this world as we know it. Maybe it's a job loss that you've had 10 and 20 years and tomorrow it's gone. Maybe it's that dreaded medical diagnosis. The loss of a loved one. The loss of a marriage. Loss of home. Loss of independence. Maybe it's not a loss. Maybe you're on the verge of getting married. And even then, your life is changing as you know it. Maybe you're anticipating the birth of a child. There's a place of fear. There's a place of anticipation, but the world is changing. So maybe you can understand that Mary didn't walk in to this with a simple or naive, okay, yes, God. Maybe you can understand that this yes comes from a place of vulnerability and a place of trust and a place of trying to survive. So Mary's questions, God. Mary questions Gabriel, how can this be? But maybe this question isn't as much about doubt, but one of trying to understand what may be happening to her body, happening to her for her yes. I love the story of Mary and Gabriel, and I love Gabriel's reaction. Gabriel didn't silence Mary. Gabriel didn't shame Mary. Gabriel offers to Mary a promise. Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. A divine interaction. God will be with you, within you. And you will be overshadowed. You will have shelter. You will be protection. There's no words coming out of Gabriel's mouth that are coercion of Mary or shaming of her or you have to. But words of grace, words of protection. And Mary listens and considers everything that's impossible. And then she has the courage to respond. Let it be according to your word. Now it's important to note that Mary's fears aren't erased here. Mary fears are still very much a reality. And this is where Mary makes a choice to to let her faith and trust in God help her step into her fear and step forward one step and another and many more steps forward. And it leads her into the arms of Elizabeth, where Elizabeth's baby leaps with joy. It's so tempting, and sometimes we're even taught that fear is failure. It's something you must silence, it's something you must push through, or it's something you must master. But in this story, this Advent, I invite you to see fear as information. Fear protects us and is needed. And some fear is on the threshold of transformation. The fear on the edge of change, the fear of saying yes to God, it holds vulnerability and also possibility. Faith over fear is to have courage. It doesn't require you to be certain, to be loud, or to be bold. Mary's courage was something else. It was a courage to ask questions. It was courage to take the time to think. It was courage to take just one uncertain step. When faced with fears, God calls and invites us forward, but doesn't send us alone. Mary runs to Elizabeth. Elizabeth greets her with these words, "Blessed are you among women." And the words are full of joy and affirmation. We, like Mary, do not walk alone. God calls us into action, even in the midst of our fears. Fear doesn't disqualify us. It's a part of the process. And God promises to walk with us through every trembling step. God calls us into community. Remember, Elizabeth has her own stuff too, right? She has her own fears and anxiety. But she and Mary walk together. They face their fears, moving forward one step at a time. So here's a question or two for you to ponder this season. What fear are you carrying today? What invitation, what call are you resisting today? What would it mean to say yes? Not fearlessly, not without trepidation. But what would it mean to say yes faithfully? That you respond to God's call. Let it be with me according to your word. Amen.